Welcome back to Rockstar 101. His name is Brandon. He is the DJ. It looks like you're frozen there. Thank God you're raising your eyebrows.
I'm not. I'm here, baby. His name is Shim. He is the Rockstar. Class is in session. We are still in the year of 1989. I was 9 years old. Shim was a young pup of just seven. And we're going to get to movies. Movies are going to be kind of the meat and potatoes of this episode. We're really going to be focusing on that, but I have some other interesting facts from 1989. I also have a really interesting kind of trivia fact that we're going to be wrapping up this episode with. But think about this. Two iconic commercial staples debuted in 1989. So that's what we're going to get to at the end of this episode. Right. And they're still around, and people always ask, how long has that been around for both of those things that debuted back in 1989? Love but before it. We get to any of this stuff, obviously, if you're here on Shim's YouTube channel, make sure you're clicking like and subscribe and get the alerts on there too, so you know when a new video gets brought up on Shim's YouTube channel. And of course, if you want to support us, you can always go to anchor.fm/rockstar101, become a supporter of the podcast. Arigato to all the people who already support the podcast. We definitely appreciate it. But let's just dive right in. Are you ready, Shim?
Fucking ready, man. Ready. Bring it.
100% ready.
Bring it.
For 1989. I got some more stuff in here. And here's an interesting factoid that came from 1989, especially because Shim and I, we like to talk about investments. We like to talk about stocks and when we're going to buy GameStop and when we're going to sell GameStop.
Yeah, right.
And when we're going to buy AMC theaters. And what were some of the other ones? Nokia was another one.
Nokia.
I'm kidding. But there was a dude in 1989 that he bought a painting for $4, okay?
Oh.
The guy who bought the painting then discovered inside the frame a first print of the 1776 Declaration of Independence.
Holy shit! Really?
He sold it for $2.4 million.
Oh, that's fantastic, isn't it? Does anyone know, like, the print that he bought, the $4 one, was that like, was it of a little boat or something, some shitty little thing?
It's when you say boat, it just reminds me of that scene from Mallrats when he's looking at the 3D painting. You got Liam over there, like, it's a schooner. That's not a schooner. It's a sailboat. A schooner is a sailboat, stupid head. No, there is no Easter Bunny. And it didn't even click in my brain right now that I needed to look this thing up because, it was a Philadelphia man. Let me see here. History stories. Am I going to be able to find this in time? More than one? Yeah, here we go. Nope, that's not it. I'm trying to find what kind of painting this dude bought that, dear History Channel, I do not want to subscribe. What this guy bought that would have the Declaration of Independence in it. But yeah, he found it was legit, like, original.
It doesn't matter. But like,
$2.4 million. $2.4 million. For $4.
See, isn't there a thing where it's like, if it's a Declaration of Independence, the government can come in and say it's a historical thing that the government kind of owns? So just give it to
us? You would think so.
Yeah.
Like you would think that
I'd
would
sell
be
that shit on the black market for sure. I would never let anyone know. NFT that shit and tokenize it and put it up on the crypto market.
We need to do some NFT stuff.
For sure. For sure.
Let's do it.
But
let's figure it out. We actually spoke with Emily Lazar September morning, this morning. Jesus, how many times can I say morning? She was on the morning show with us explaining to us NFTs. So I found it here. It's in 1989. A Philadelphia man found an original Dunlap broadside hidden in the back of a picture frame he bought at a flea market for $4, one of the few surviving copies of the official first printing of the Declaration. It was in excellent condition. Oh, snap. So I guess he sold it earlier, but it says here in 2000, it ended up selling for $8.1 million.
Fucking crazy.
The 26th known Dunlap broadside emerged at the British National Archives in 2009, hidden for centuries in a box of papers captured from American colonists during the Revolutionary War. One of three Dunlap
broadsides. What does this have to do with movies? Everyone who's listening right now is asking, what does this have to do with movies? That's what they're all asking.
No, they want to hear 1989.
They want to hear about Batman.
Well, if we want to get into the whole, national treasure of it all, we could do that as well.
Yeah, but that's not from 1989.
That was just an interesting fact from 1989.
That's beautiful. We got a plan. All right.
There's a plan because there's something else big that happened in 1989.
Bring it.
The World Wide Web was invented.
It was invented?
It says here, we owe a lot to Tim Berners-Lee, a software engineer working out of Switzerland, who, quote, understood the unrealized potential of millions of computers connected together through the internet. His proposal led to the creation of a royalty-free World Wide Web technology.
Royalty-free? Could you imagine?
I mean, you pay an ISP, but...
No, I understand, but the proprietary ownership of the concept of internet, could you imagine if you had came up with internet and had patented that shit?
Oh, oh Jesus, yeah.
Oh, that's big money. That's like...
Well, thanks to that guy.
I don't think you could... That'd be like owning the patent on water now, if you owned water. Like, seriously.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's H2O. Yeah. I own that, okay? You guys are going to have to change your formula slightly. That's like when they, I think, I don't know if I remember this fact or not.
Sorry about
but
that.
I remember this from like a science class that they used to have filters that would, because you know how when oxygen is in the air, it's O2. It's always two of them connected. And right. Somebody thought it was a bright idea. Well, to have even purer oxygen, we could split them up. So then it's just O1, not realizing that that's technically toxic to human beings. Like that, like it's lethal. Like it will kill human beings if you breathe that stuff.
That's dark.
All right, so now we're going to jump right into the movie topic. In 1989, the top grossing movie of 1989, of course, that was...
Batman.
Batman was number one. It was released on June 23rd. A couple of sequels came in at number two and number three. You had Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade coming in at number two. Lethal Weapon 2 coming in. On the third spot, and then Ghostbusters 2 and Back to the Future Part 2 also, they're in the top 10.
Yeah.
Did all these movies make it to Australia?
Yeah,
was that
they all
a big
made
thing
it.
For you growing
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ghostbusters wasn't my thing, but I used to watch, it's funny, I used to watch Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade a lot more than any of the other movies. I went through a Batman phase, but I've been waiting to tell you this, right? So this is just that for fans of mine.
Oh, this
like,
is why you wanted to get
No, them. Fans of mine that like
You're
stupid shim
fit.
Shit. I had this, and tell me if you've ever, we're going to go into we're going sidebar straight down the line. That makes sense in a second. I went to see Batman, first movie that I can remember seeing in my life, right? Seriously, because it was
ever.
First time we ever went to the movie theater, because we watch movies at home and cassette
so
tapes.
So not the first movie you've seen, but the first movie in a theater.
In a theater. Yeah, they made a point of we went out with a couple of friends and we made a whole thing out of it. And I got the Batman mug and I got the Batman, the oval shaped thing that you put on your wardrobe or your wall that was glow in the dark. So at night when you turn off the light to go to bed, it'd be like the bat signal was there, right? It was the coolest fucking thing ever. So I had this bat signal on my wardrobe. And it would turn on, they turn the light off, the glow in the dark would turn on, and I would look at it, and I used to have visions, and I don't know if I was, I don't think I was asleep, but I vividly remember, and this is going to fuck you up, man, but like, I used to, there was a head, a talking head that would appear, translucent like a ghost, straight up, as I'm saying it sounds crazy.
Wait.
But this
when you were dreaming?
No, I don't know if I was dreaming because it would be because here's
was
the thing.
Was it like the head from Power Rangers, the one that used to talk to the Power Rangers that Bryan Cranston played in the movie? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know about that, but this thing would appear on the bat signal, and it was always in the same spot, and it was always direct line of sight. Like as I'm lying here, it would be right up there. I'd be lying on my bed chilling. I don't know why I'm doing this, but it would talk to me, and I remember every time it would happen, I would bring the covers up to here, but I would, and then eventually I'd have enough like courage to pull it over my head and go to sleep, or he would disappear. But I used to think, am I asleep? Am I dreaming this? But the rest of the room was so vivid, and I remember it being really clear, and it happened over and over and over again. And he would come and he would talk to me, but he was always very aggressive. He was sort of like that thing of like the...
aggressive how?
Aggressive, I'm about to say like Easter Bunny's not real. Like that moment where the guy's like... He's like, this is how it is. And it felt like there was a guy who died in that room who was an old man, and he was stuck there, and that was when he would come and talk to me and be like, let me tell you a thing or two about a thing or two.
Oh my God.
And it probably was a dream, but it used to happen often enough and infrequently enough and he looked just like your quintessential old guy. He didn't look like my dad, but he looked kind of like someone who you'd familiar. He looked familiar, like a familiar old man. It was fucking weird. Ugh. But that's what that's what I remember about Batman more than anything to do with and I love Batman. The Joker is my favorite character in history. But
really?
Yeah, for sure. Like I could.
Are we gonna have to do a deep dive into which one's your favorite Joker?
I could totally do a deep dive into that anytime, anytime, any place. Name it. But
so who? So
I'm trying to think I don't think we want to stay on 1989. Let's do that as a whole.
No, we're going to
say
yeah. We're not gonna easy. We're not gonna go that far down a rabbit hole here. But I'm trying to figure out if I want to find out now who it is, and then you can just explain it later. Yeah, let's just do that. So which one, out of all the Jokers, which
one's
your favorite?
It's got to be Heath.
Okay.
It's got to be Heath.
Before that, was it Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, he was the only one. I mean, the TV one doesn't count.
What, Cesar Romero?
He doesn't care. He doesn't count.
How the hell does he not count?
He doesn't count.
Okay, look, see, this is how we end up down these rabbit holes. We're going to come back to this. I'm making a note. Shim secretly hates the Joker.
I don't hate, okay.
No, you do. Okay, because if you loved the Joker, you would be willing to accept Cesar Romero.
I've never paid enough attention to it. My thing is always movies. The movies, not the comic book guys or the TV guys, or even Mark Hamill in the cartoon. We're just talking the movie portrayals. Anyway, Mark Hamill's amazing, but he's not in that thing.
So what?
And Back to the Future, I was all about Back to the Future. I get it. And I still... I don't know if they're ever going to be able to write a time travel story that doesn't fold in on itself at some point. Like they can't crack the time travel concept.
Well, see, that's why I thought that in Endgame, did it well.
Yeah, just they did it as well as you could.
Huh?
They did it as well as you could.
Because the interesting thing is that like they're trying to sort of let you know of different timelines, like the ancient one when she's explaining it to the Hulk and. And you had Hulk trying to explain it to somebody else, and it just I thought that they did a good job by basically not explaining it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Going to be loopholes.
Yeah, it's
here.
Like just kill Thanos.
Time travel doesn't work the way you
kill
think
kill Thanos for 2.5 hours. I don't care about how you get there. Just make shit up.
Just do it.
Just do it. Just fucking.
But that was
do
the cool
it.
Thing about Back to the Future is he's got the picture. You know, of his family, and they're all starting to fade away. Of course, this was the first movie, and then eventually, you know, it gets to the point where, he ends up in the future. And of course, we just went through this a few years ago. That was the year he jumped to.
Oh, remember? Yeah. What was that year? 2015. Oh, it was 1985, and then 30 years later, 2015. Or 20 years. 30 years. Fucking math. Math.
What, see, I thought that was the one that was slightly off because I remember they go back to 1955.
The thing that I remember is that I used to... This is how fucked up and backwards my whole childhood was, okay? I remember when I discovered the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I said, oh, that's the guy from Back to the Future. When what you're supposed to say is you watch Back to the Future and go, fuck, that's the guy from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I was so
fucking lame that I was... I literally went to school when I discovered... I was so stupid about it too. It didn't occur to me to shut my stupid mouth that when I started listening to Foo Fighters, I went, hey, doesn't that singer just look strangely familiar? Like, you ever heard Nirvana and they're like, you fucking loser, stop talking to me. And then I would be like, dude, did you know the guy, if you watched Back to the Future, they're like, yeah, it's cool. Do you know that guy started a band? He just started a band. And they're like, you're a fucking idiot. Why hate you? Like, kids are brutally cruel. And I would still go up and be like, I found this thing. And then, oh, it's fucking like, ever heard? Hey, I just found Bitcoin. Get the fuck out of my face. Anyway.
Yeah, you're
spitting.
Right. It's the 30 year gap where you go from 55 to 85 to 2015.
I want to watch those. I want to do a fucking Back to the Future marathon. I want to do it.
Well, sure. Remember, we were going through all that stuff where the Cubs were winning the World Series. The Cubs won in 2016. So there was all those different things, and a Back to the Future marathon would be pretty cool. Do you ever go kind of get sucked into those factoids where it's just the attention to detail in some of these movies? Like there was, I think it was the Twin Pines Mall, is how it starts out in the movie.
Oh yeah,
and he originally goes back in time. He blasts through that one tree with the DeLorean, So then when he comes back to 1985, it's now Lone Pine Ball because he destroyed one of the pine trees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember, it's funny, I don't remember that in the movie, but I remember that being one of the factoids, and people get off on finding the Easter eggs. That was one of the first movies to do Easter eggs, I think. That was one of the first movies that really had those sort of things. Like, we're not going to address this, but if you're paying attention or multiple views, you know, you'll start to pay attention to this. But the thing that I always liked about... The thing that I remembered about Back to the Future was when I read Michael J. Fox's biography, and they were talking about how he was the biggest star, one of the biggest stars in the world with Family Ties. And he was making movies in between Family Ties, and he was making duds. He was when he did Back to the Future, he was coming off two dud movies.
And he wasn't supposed to be Marty McFly. The redhead. God damn it.
The redhead?
Yeah, he was. He's got red hair.
Corey Feldman?
No.
He would have been such a shitty Marty McFly.
Eric Stoltz. It was originally Eric Stoltz. Eric Stoltz was the guy. Do you remember in Pulp Fiction when Vincent Vega shows up to the drug dealer's house, the guy that wears the robe that sells him the heroin?
Oh, him.
That's Eric Stoltz.
He would have been good too. He would have been good. But there really is
no
other.
They filmed a whole bunch of the movie with him, but then they decided, maybe this isn't working out.
They actually filmed stuff with him and then cut him?
I believe so. They filmed a ton with him. But there's a great, it's either a podcast or a documentary on Back to the Future. That's definitely worth checking out.
There's more things about Back to the Future than there are Back to the Futures. But I remember reading Michael J. Fox's biography and them saying like they cast Michael J. Fox because, you know, it was a good idea at the time and it seemed good. But he was on, if Back to the Future wasn't going to, and when you read the script and you heard about the movie, it just didn't didn't really add up on paper. You had to see it visualized and done. And so people really thought that this might be, you know, he's in Family Ties. That's nice. He's been up there for a while. He's done two movies that didn't really do well, but he gets to go back to Family Ties. And now he's doing this fucking time travel movie. Some stupid fucking, you know, some suburban kids time traveling like after Teen Wolf or whatever. It was like, no, this is a bad idea. And then everyone watched it. They watched the previews, and everyone apparently called him the weekend before it was supposed to open and said, "Dude, this is game changer. Like, you are going to go to the moon," because he was already in the fucking stratosphere. So yeah, and now he's always going to be known as Marty McFly. I think it would be. I would love to see a reboot of Back to the Future. They're rebooting everything now. I'd love it if they rebooted Back to the Future, man.
What kind of car do you think they'd use? A Tesla?
I think Tesla would build them whatever the fuck they wanted for that. But yeah, I think that they would have to find a DeLorean and fix it up.
They would have to find a DeLorean. Because you know those cars actually apparently like sucked. Like they were not well built.
No, they're an iconic thing that's just about the iconic thing of it. But you know what's funny?
The whole reason anybody knew what they were is because the doors did this.
Yeah, that's the only reason. Yeah, that's the only thing. They were the first car to do that. But I remember I had a friend in Hollywood who directed the first two music videos for the puppies, the first two, yeah. And later on, years and years later, he was between houses and he was staying in a friend's theater. Like this guy had a home theater and he was staying in there and set up a little office in the home theater. It was a guy who did, I forget the guy's name, but he did special effects design. And so he had this studio where he would do face masks of famous people for the cosmetic special effects things they were doing. And all around the corners, like at the top of the wall, on all four corners, all lining the wall, was every movie star you could ever imagine and their face. And the face, like he hung them around the place. It was fucking crazy. But the back of his house was this overgrown forest of movie memorabilia that he had just collected from the movies that he'd done. Because he bought it off the rack, like he was like, "Oh, finished production, I'll grab that. Yeah, I'll take that back or whatever. Don't reimburse me." And we're walking through to my friend's room, and he's like, "And there's stuff from Alien, and there's stuff from ET." And then he's like, "Dude, check this out." And there's just this pile of shit, right? This pile of stuff that you can't make out. And then he pulls this piece of tarp up, and it's the license plate and the fucking bottom half of the DeLorean. And I was like,
no shit.
And I said, "Are you fucking kidding me? Is that a DeLorean?" And he said, "That's one of the DeLoreans. That's one of the like three or four that they used." And he owned it, and it was in the back of this memorabilia lot. And it was well maintained. Like it was covered properly, but it was just surrounded by other shit that was covered up. And like, it was just this forest of movie memorabilia shit that I was like, I wanted to rip it off and get in and take pictures and do the whole nine yards. And he was like, you can't do anything. I'm not even supposed to show you. Like, if anyone knew, because the guy was down like off in Van Nuys or something in a back street. Like, if anyone knew that all that shit was there, the only reason no one went in and pillaged it was because you needed a fucking crane to get half the shit out of there. Like, you couldn't move it easily. So it was dope, though.
It's the ultimate security right there, yeah. Making it impossible to move.
Yeah. So yeah, what's next?
What's some other movies we have on here? Obviously, you said Ghostbusters wasn't really
not
your thing. I remember when Ghostbusters 2 came out, but even more specifically, Ghostbusters, the first one, we went and saw it in the theater. I think that was 84 or 85. And I was terrified as
really?
A child.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrified with Ghostbusters. And I just showed my kid Ghostbusters, the first one, for the first time in a week, maybe. And I told her there's those scenes where the dogs come out, like those big demon dog things.
Yeah.
And I told her, I'm like, this is how I watched that movie in the theater. And I would cover up my face, but then I would just peek through a little bit. And then when something scary would happen, you'd go, boop,
yeah,
and you just close it up.
Yeah.
And that's how I stayed safe from Ghostbusters, man.
So how old are you when they showed you that? How old are you when you first watched it?
I was like 4 or 5.
That's fucked up, dude. You don't show that to him.
I remember seeing it in the theater.
There's some scary shit in that movie. All right, what else is there?
Yeah, but oh my God, that opening scene with the lady in the library. She's all, that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, terrifying. Okay, here's one I want to get your, because there's a few more movies on here that we got to talk about. And the interesting thing is here, so if anybody's listening to this and like, oh, you forgot about this movie or if you got about that movie, comment below, let us know, because here's the thing. Shim and I, we're going to be chronologically going through the years. Eventually, we're going to catch up with real time. Like, hey, here's what happened last month in 2021. And we're going to have to go back. So eventually, we're going to end up back in 1989. So if there's any movies or TV shows or anything that we have not discussed that you think should be discussed, comment below. Mm. Field of Dreams, how well does that play in Australia? Because that doesn't feel like a movie that really translates well to any place outside of the United States.
No, I remember hearing about it, but who was in that?
It's Kevin Costner.
Yeah, that didn't happen here.
Oh, God. James Earl Jones, you know the plot line, right?
It's a baseball thing, right?
Yeah, he has a cornfield in Iowa that he tears up because he hears a voice that says, if you And that's kind of, and that was like the big thing from that year. And because there was two big baseball movies that came out in 89, at least that I remember. It was Field of Dreams and Major League. Have you ever seen Major League?
Yeah, that made it over here.
I begged and pleaded, Dad, please let me go see Major League, because it was this really funny baseball movie. But I'm 9 and it's rated R. And I don't think I ever got to see it in the theater. I don't even think I saw it when I was age 9. Eventually, I believe we bought it on VHS, and my dad told me, yes, you can watch it. And I was, you know, he prefaced, you know, very heavily, like, this is, a lot of this stuff is not designed for kids. And
right.
So, but I was so excited when I got to watch it. And that kind of became, because growing up, I played baseball. I had the same group of kids I played baseball with. So there were specific movies that we would quote, that we would talk about. Yeah. It was Major League, A League of Their Own, and Sandlot. Those were like the big three.
Okay, so Sandlot, my wife has been saying to me for a decade and plus, you're killing me, Smalls.
And you didn't know what that was?
I had no idea. We watched it last week. I had no idea.
Dude, your wife is so much cooler than you. So much cooler. My wife loves the Sandlot. She also had the hots for what the hell was it? Jet Rodriguez.
Yeah,
the Jet Rodriguez.
As soon as I saw it, because my wife was like, we're looking for stuff to watch with the kids, and she was like, I used to watch this, I know this, this will be fine, there's nothing crazy scary in this. And then that kid walked on, and I said, how old were you when you were into this? And she was like, yeah. And I said, you had a mad crush on that kid for years. She was like, yeah.
Nah. Yeah, my wife admitted it. She's like, I had a crush on Benny the Jet Rodriguez. Yeah,
everyone did. Like, I'm sure that if that kid didn't get laid, something's wrong. The funny thing is, we looked that kid up, and he's like, I literally was like, he's probably some ex crack addict that's in jail now because he got too fucking famous as a kid. And he actually, like, that kid, you look him up. He's a fireman now with a nice wife and a family of three. He's fully well adjusted. And if you look into it, he made a choice to get out of acting once he was a teenager because he was like, this shit's getting, he actually was like, yeah, it's a bad environment, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, there's a couple that ended up not doing so well later on in life.
Corey Feldman.
I know the kid that played Smalls, he ended up into some legal issues. I think he's got everything kind of tackled now, but there was a few years there where he had a pretty rough stretch. Yeah. And I can't remember if it was Yeah or Squints who turned into this yoked fucking meathead later on in life. And because I remember I saw a video on TMZ and I didn't believe it. I had to look it up. God. And he was jacked. He was a meathead.
Time changes all things. What
it
else?
Was, yeah. Yeah.
What else have
yeah,
we got?
It was
from
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He just turned into this. He turned into this kind of just Northeast meathead with the fake tan.
You know what we should start doing? We should
sure, dude.
We should start sharing your screen and my screen when we start to look at things like this, so people can see it on the YouTube. Like, are we able to? If we do that, it's not a copyright breach. Are we able to do that to reference something that we're talking about?
I think if we can do it, but it's got to be very limited.
Right.
As is my understanding.
Okay.
All right. Where were we going?
We got a couple movies left, and then I want to hear your teaser.
Oh, yes, so the two commercials that we're talking about, because we've got to start wrapping this episode up. God, where did my list go? Okay, so what was it? There's a couple other movies. Oh, there's another movie that debuted in 1989. It was released in theaters, and to me, it is the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Oh, is it Home Alone?
No.
Oh, Die Hard?
No.
Which one?
National Lampoon's.
Oh, Christmas? Fuck you and National Lampoon's. We went through this. It's no... I mean, maybe.
It's the best. I mean, look, I'm not going to knock Home Alone. I'm not going to knock Die Hard. Those are top five.
Okay, I got to admit, I haven't seen National Lampoon's Christmas, so I don't know. I dude, okay, here's
Did
the thing.
Did I know that?
National Did Lampoon's,
I know that?
Yes.
I don't think I know. I don't think I knew that you haven't seen it. That is blasphemy,
well,
sir.
It didn't make it over here. So you got to keep in mind, Saturday Night Live, this is going to blow people's minds if you think it matters. Saturday Night Live didn't make it over here. We never watch Saturday Night Live in Australia. It is a very American thing. What we do is we will watch movies and then go, where'd that guy come from? Where'd that lady come from? And go, oh, they're from that Saturday Night Live thing. But you find out 3 years later when they got a few hits. I found out Will Ferrell was on Saturday Night Live after Talladega Nights. Like,
does
I was,
it make it now?
Yeah, not really. It's not an, like it's, not an, it's not an Australian culture thing, because what happens is... Saturday Night Live is making fun and parodying pretty much only American culture things of that week. So, like, yeah. So if
so
unless
it just doesn't translate,
we don't
so
get
just,
the
it's
gags.
It's not a thing.
We don't get the gags. Like, every once in, if you watch one full episode of a Saturday Night Live, you might get 30% of it or 50% of it, but that's not enough to commit to go, I have to watch it like you guys do. Like, you guys, I've heard everyone say, like, you'd stay up late and you'd set your alarm and the
oh,
whole
God.
Thing.
Yeah, when you were a kid, it's when it was... Mike Myers and Dana Carvey, like that was
like
the
that sounds
thing.
Awesome. And that's the funny thing. So you're telling me in Wayne's World 2 when they said if you build it they will come, that was actually from Field of Dreams?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Didn't know that. I thought it was like some Zen shit. If you build it they will
no,
come.
No, that's from Field of Dreams. So what happens in the movie is he's standing out in his cornfield and he hears this voice and he thinks somebody's out there, like physically there, but he just keeps hearing, if you build it, he will come. And then he just, you know, he's running around and then he keeps hearing this voice and I won't ruin it for you. You just need
okay,
to watch
it. Okay, cool. Is it a good movie?
I think it's a great movie.
All right. So let's
it's a good movie in the sense that it's a father-son movie. That's the underlying theme. Baseball is kind of the carrier for it. That's the rocket ship that it's on, but the story inside of the rocket ship is a father-son story.
Right.
That's how it goes.
Okay.
Kind of like how in Star Wars there are actual spaceships and it's a father-son story.
Yeah. That's trippy. Just that
I know,
was
right?
Really
okay,
fun.
Here we go. So we're gonna get to this we're gonna wrap up the tease here. as I talked about, there's two very iconic commercial staples that debuted in 1989. But before we get to that really quick, make sure you follow Shim over on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/Hollywood Rebellion. You can follow me over on Twitch. It is at The Real Brandon Lorien. That's also the same handle. You can find me on Instagram or over on Reddit. You can also find Shim over on Facebook. It's just Shim.
That's right.
Check mark. Yes. You do have the check mark, right?
Definitely, yeah. Got that check mark now.
Yeah, Don and Darlene really hooked that up for you, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yes, they did.
They did that. They
yes.
did that.
Yes, they did.
They're good people.
They're amazing people.
All right, here we go. So here's the tease. So there was two very iconic commercial staples that debuted in 1989, one of which, considering we were just talking about National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, is Christmas related. And I don't know if this made it to Australia, but if you've ever been here in the States during Christmas time, you have seen the commercial with the Hershey's Kisses lined up like a Christmas tree, and they're ringing like the bells.
Right.
And yeah. At the very end, you get the one that goes, and he goes, whew, like that.
Yeah.
That debuted in 1989, and it has ran every single year since.
The same
It
ad?
Has been going for 32 years at this point. Same, well, it'll be the 32nd year this year.
The exact same ad. They don't even remake it.
Same ad.
That's fantastic.
And then the other part of this interesting little factoid here, the Energizer Bunny was introduced.
You're
to the
kidding.
Public.
That's better.
In 1989. So for the Energizer mascot or spokesperson, I should say, before that, it was Mary Lou Retton, the gymnast. And then the Energizer Bunny came in, and the Energizer Bunny is still around.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't have gone with the Energizer Bunny to start with, but that's...
Well, maybe
that's,
they didn't have the idea.
That is a... Yeah, I guess you're right. But that's iconic.
Why didn't you write...
Shut up. What, you saying Dressed Up as Life was no good?
Well, yeah, why didn't you just go with Tripolar?
Yeah, because that one sold a few more. Just a couple.
Why didn't you start with songs like Hallelujah?
Yeah.
Just go, nice.
Try to dig it out. But I think like having that, you just assume that shit has been around for a million years. But they've...
Well, but, I mean, if you think back
see,
to it...
I want to see an original Energizer Bunny ad now, because I've been dealing with that fucking Hershey's one for 32 years.
Yeah,
I want to see the original Energizer Bunny. They must have thought it was like, why are we going to let a bunny on crack advertise our batteries?
If I remember correctly, I think the original one was they because the whole point was it's how long our... And I don't even know if it was intended to be the mascot of Energizer. This is going to take a deeper dive into this, but it was... You had all these other, like these other batteries, and they were all put into these toys. And as all the other toys wound down because their battery died,
there goes
the Energizer Bunny still clicking away, right. Still banging the drum.
Do you think
because
that it was like
it had Energizer?
But banging the drum too. Do you think that it had a little connotation with fucking like rabbits, like that? Because that's what, when you have that thing of like they fuck like bunny rabbits or something. That's whenever I think of the Energizer Bunny, I'm like they go like the Energizer Bunny. That's I think that like they had that sexual innuendo in there, and also you got a fucking Energizer Bunny just slapping that drum, just fucking hitting that drum, just won't stop beating that skin. Like, for real, that's some sexy shit.
Beating that skin. There
that
you
is
go.
Some sexy
that's
shit.
That's the ultimate wrap up. Yeah. Beating that skin. Oh, and by the way, it's pink.
It's pink what? The pink Energizer rabbit. Bunny? Yeah, it's totally, pink. It's a sexy bunny. That is a sexy ad campaign. And on that note, we'd like to thank you all for your patronage. Thank you to all of our sponsors through anchor.fm.com, correct?
Anchor.fm.
Fucking, I'm sorry. I'm horrible at this.
But Shim doesn't handle any of this stuff. I'm the one that uploads it. So, Don and Darlene, by the way.
Yeah.
They put in way more work than Shim.
They totally run. They run all my shit. So mad shout out to Don and Darlene. I love you guys. And if you don't agree with me about the Energizer Bunny, write it in the comments section down below after you subscribe, like, and hit the notification bell. And on that note, his name is Brandon.
No, really quick, because here's how we're doing this. So what you and I, we're starting to do here is we're in 1989. What?
Would have been such a good wrap-up. Fucking go ahead.
I know, but the whole point is I got to get this
in. This better be worth it. This better be mind-blowingly good. Come on. Don't give me the stink face. I don't care. You're not going to work on me.
No, because remember, the whole point here is, as we do these episodes, as we go through the years, the first episode, it's all about rock/music. And then we're talking television shows, and now we're talking movies. But then we're going to do kind of a recap coming up. So if there's anything that we missed in any of these episodes from 1989 that you believe should be discussed, or maybe you found interesting, because there was a lot of people who commented on the playlist, the 1989 Best Rock Playlist, that were saying, hey, thank you. I think Vero was one of them who said, thank you for, kind of creating this, because it reminded her of a lot of old songs. She rediscovered a lot of old songs. That's, or maybe you're going to rediscover an old episode of a TV show or rediscover a movie. And if that happens, comment that below, because that's what we'll be kind of going over in the next episode of Rockstar 101. But on that note, his name is Shim. He's the Rockstar.
His name is Brandon. He is the DJ.
Class dismissed.